Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the lives, ministry, and witness of two of our Lord's apostles. Saints Philip and James are both considered to be martyrs by the tradition of the Church. St. James is the kinsman of our Lord, and is often referred to as James the Less, to differentiate between himself and James the Great. James the Great appears to be the brother of the evangelist John, and is the patron saint of Spain. There is some debate as to who James the Less actually is. Some traditions have him as the son of St. Joseph by a wife who passed away before St. Joseph was betrothed to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Other traditions happen to be the son of one of the Virgin Mary's sisters, and thus a cousin to Christ. But regardless, he was a kinsman of the Lord, and was also a stalwart of the Apostolic Church, being the Bishop of Jerusalem and the author of the Epistle of James. St. James was noted for his life of virtue and service. Not only was he the first bishop of Jerusalem and an important early leader in the church, he was also respected by the non-Christian Jews that lived in Jerusalem. It is said of St. James that he was an ascetic who ate a vegetarian diet and abstained from wine. He was murdered by jealous Jewish religious leaders and was known as James the Just by many in the Jewish community. For he bore his faithful witness to Christ as he was thrown from off the roof of the temple. Still alive after the fall, his persecutors clubbed him to death as he prayed for them. And in fact, Josephus, the Jewish historian, actually says that this murder of James the Just was one of the reasons that God allowed the Romans to sack and destroy Jerusalem later. It seems that St. Philip was probably a follower of John the Baptist before he became a follower of Christ. He was instrumental in the call of Nathanael in the Gospel according to St. John, and St. Philip also participated in the miracle of the loaves and fishes. Furthermore, it is taught by tradition that he went to Greece and preached the Gospel before succumbing to a martyr's death by being crucified upside down. Now we can ask ourselves, what lesson do these two men have for us? Well, like all the apostles, they failed Christ and fled during our Lord's Passion. Furthermore, it was seen that St. James actually took some time to come to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. But after their initial failure, both men returned to be witnesses for Christ and leaders of the church. However, there is a broader and perhaps deeper lesson to be learned from these men. So let us turn to the Holy Scriptures and see what they will teach us. St. James writes in his epistle that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, St. James must have learned this from Christ himself. We know that the kinsfolk of Jesus were reluctant to follow him, according to the 7th chapter of St. John. We do not know when St. James came to believe that Jesus was the Savior. However, Jesus did have patience with St. James. Even though St. James was not at first a follower or disciple of the Lord did not reject him, nor did he reject any of his family. For St. James, it was perhaps the slow ferment of the gospel, the teaching of his kinsmen, in his heart, that eventually gave birth to saving faith in Christ. St. James can write of patience in his epistle because the Lord had patience with him. Something happened to St. James. We cannot be sure because we don't have a report of his initial conversion. But we do have his writings, and they tell us, let patience have her perfect work. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. And let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Well, the irony is that St. James had to learn patience, faith, and devotion. He had none of these things when his kinsman began his messianic ministry. Indeed, St. James can only exhort us to these things because he himself learned them through trial and error. It was God's patience and faith that would bolster the unbelieving heart of St. James to the point that he would become a pillar of the church and a martyr for the faith. In many ways, St. James' epistle is the most practical of the writings of the New Testament. We are exhorted to faith in Christ and to love God by St. Paul and the evangelists. But St. James shows us what that looks like. It is a life of patience, of faithful hoping in God, which in turn means that we demonstrate this faith and hope by works of mercy to our fellow human beings. St. James makes certain to tell us that faith without works is dead. Indeed, such a faith is the theology of demons. The demons know who Christ is better than we do. They have head knowledge, but it avails them nothing, for there is no charity in the hearts of devils, nor compassion demonstrated through works of mercy. Remember what St. James wrote. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? So much for St. James. Let us see now what we can learn from St. Philip. St. Philip's query to Christ, show us the Father, and it sufficed thus, will lead to some of the deepest claims of divinity that Christ is to make in the recorded Gospels. Christ tells St. Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Christ also says, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The Lord wants his disciples to understand the true nature of the life of the Trinity. It is a life of community, of mutual love. It is a life where the Son is in the Father, and the Father in the Son. But bear in mind that Christ says he is in the Father, not that he is the Father. That is, in the life of the Godhead, the persons of the Trinity, although equal and sharing in the same divine essence, nevertheless retain their own distinct personhood. This distinction of personhood within the nature of the Godhead is important to realize because of the statement of the Lord that he says, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. We are to do the works of God. Indeed, he says, we shall perform greater works than Christ. Now, how can this be? Isn't Christ the Savior of all men? And aren't we saved by Christ alone? The paradox is that the answer to those questions are yes, we are. However, Christ wills that his work of salvation should be shared by his followers. Christ is sufficient for the task of saving the cosmos. But he condescends to ask his disciples and you and I to take a part in his all-sufficient work. Being incorporated into Christ doesn't mean losing our personhood, but it means that our person becomes identified with the person of Christ. Now, let's bring this together. Let's couple the idea of working with Christ with the teaching of St. James. What does this mean? It means that we are called to be saints and to do the work that Christ lays out for us. There is only one choice, brothers and sisters, to become a saint or to suffer damnation. Since Christ is fully human, we can be incorporated into his human nature and thus become members of his body. As members of his body, we must take care to do work worthy of that body. Indeed, he tells us that we will do greater works than he. Consider, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, the followers of Christ are seen to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to exorcise those possessed by devils, and to pardon sins. Just as the Jews blasphemed Christ by growing angry when he claimed to be able to forgive sins, even so they raged against his followers when they exercised the authority he had given them. And they will rage against us even this day if we follow Christ. So when we partake of the gifts of the altar and become one with Christ in Holy Communion, we must not let that seed of divinity grow stagnant. We must cultivate, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, patience, faith, and love. We have to do this because we have a mission to fulfill, which is to work the works of Christ. Every Christian is called to be a saint and a co-laborer with the Lord. Let us receive our divine Savior's body and blood and go forth to work in the fields that the Lord sends us out to. Almighty God, through the prayers of Saints James and Philip, have mercy on us, save us, and enable us to proclaim the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.